The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Andy Holding, to look ahead to three races on Sunday. We're going to look at two at Goodwood as well as one at Beverley, and just look back at the last few days at York as well, because it has been tremendous stuff, hasn't it, Mr. Holding?
It certainly has, yeah. I haven't enjoyed a meeting as much as this for a long time, even accounting for Royal Ascot and Goodwood. Not that many bets. I didn't have a bet yesterday at all, which is quite unheard of for me. Do like a punt, of course. But yeah, nothing really floated my boat, but the actual performances and the time figures for some of the races were sensational, no more so than Soul Power, of course, with his scintillating win in the Nunthorpe.
Yeah, we'll start with Soul Power, who of course won the Nunthorpe, the 11-4 favourite from Stepper Point, Extortionist and Movie Star. I was recording a podcast at the time, and I came into the studio to see the last half furlong.
That's all you need to see.
And thought, oh, it's a good ride.
Mm.
But it's when you see just how far back Soul Power was and the fact that it's a clever ride by Hughes, although risky, fair to say. But that horse's turn of foot is just astonishing, isn't it?
You don't know whether you just give the horse the credit or whether you give Richard Hughes a part of the plaudits as well. I suppose it's 50-50, isn't it, really? You have to have the horse to being able to do what he did, but you also have to have the jockey as well if you're Soul Power to point you in the right direction and make sure that he sees everything. The horse cock doesn't know where he's going. So, yeah, the two of them have dovetailed really well, haven't they? Taken over from Johnny Murty, which is not an easy task. But they've, formed perfect symmetry, haven't they? Hughesy on a hold-up horse that got a good cruising speed and a good turn of foot. If anyone's going to master Soul Power and get him to drop on the line twice in a row in split second, less than 58-second races, it's going to be Hughesy.
Well, it is. To win a race like the Nunthorpe over five furlongs without... He didn't reach for the whip once.
No.
It's just incredible when you think about it. And he was going away at the line. It's just... It is perfection from Hughes. It could have been quite different, though, couldn't it? Because he was... You know, he was bobbing and weaving and... watched the race back a few times now and you still think just one slightest thing goes wrong there and it's race over. But
he's got to have a massive amount of confidence in his horse to be able to do what he did, knowing that even though he's only got 100 yards, 50 yards to go, he's still going to have that turn of foot to overhaul, you know, the best sprinters around. He's got that much belief in his animal. And credit goes to Edward Lynham as well for not only producing him twice to win the King's Stand and the Nunthorpe, but for Slade Power winning the July Cup. And I presume he'll go to Ascot later in the season. But, you know, Soul Power's seven now as well. I mean, there's no stopping him at the moment.
No.
He seems to be getting better.
He's not regressing.
No, he's definitely not. It'd be an interesting little matchup, wouldn't it, if he goes to the Abbey and Tiggy Wiggy was to go there.
Tiggy Wiggy was very impressive on Thursday.
Even better time figure than Soul Power. I got 91 for Soul Power, but I got 95 for Tiggy Wiggy, the best of the week.
See, there were supposed stamina doubts about Tiggy Wiggy, but again... Which one would Richard Hughes ride? Would he be obliged to ride the Hannon horse?
I would imagine he probably would. But I think actually Hughesy not riding Beata's ride Soul Power might mean that Soul Power will only go where Hughesy can go.
Possibly.
Because I think Edward Lynham will...
You wouldn't want to clash, would you?
He wouldn't want to upset the partnership.
And at the same time, you'd imagine if there's one person who knows how to get Soul Power beat, it would be with Hughes from the front on Tiggy Wiggy, as we saw.
Yeah.
The pace to burn. At York. Of course, Pale Mimosa, the other big winner yesterday, if you like. She really is going places, and I don't think it was a vintage renewal, but coming up against the likes of Cavalryman, who's been in great form this year, Estimate, who of course all the credentials are there, she did it really nicely, didn't she?
Yeah, under the hands of Smullen as well. We talked about Hughes, how brilliant he was on Soul Power, but Pat Smullen's excelled over a mile and over 2 miles on the round track at York on two different types of horses. Short squeeze early on the week, which for me was still the ride of the week. I thought that was a sensational ride, coming from last to first on Hugo Palmer's charge. And then, in a totally different way and mould, winning on Palmer Mosa on a horse that was bursting at the seams with 3 furlongs to run, but having the confidence then just hold on and wait and wait and not have a rush of blood to the head like quite a few other young jockeys would have had. It's all about experience, about being in that position time and time again. And he knew that if he went too soon on Palmer Mosa, her stamina might just ebb away, because that was the first time she'd run over 2 miles, or she'd run it over Ascot, but that was inconclusive. He proved that she stayed the trip. So he thought, at the back of his mind, you could see his mind ticking over, right, mile 6, I know she's going to get that. We go past the 2 furlong marker, right, I'm going to wait another furlong and then I'm going to go. He kicked just at the right moment, and that little turn of foot that she showed, she only went 2 lengths clear, but it was enough for her to get enough real estate ahead of the rest, and Estimate was closing her down at the line. It was only a half a length winning margin, but that vital couple of furlongs that he waited and he decided to just keep his powder dry, for me, was tactical genius.
Well, I was at York on Thursday, and I must confess there was just a lingering thought in the back of my mind that was, Pat Smullen doesn't ride at York very often. You know, not a reason to oppose him as such, but just to sort of, is that something that I'd really, do I want to be getting involved? And he's just class.
Yeah.
Wherever he is, that ride on Short Squeeze, I must confess I didn't notice at the time. Obviously, if you've backed another horse in the race, you're not really looking at. But watching that replay, he comes from so far back.
Yeah.
And again, just like Richard Hughes on Soul Power, it is precision to the second, but that's why these guys are the best at what they do, isn't it?
It was almost akin to the Maradona run when he scored against England in that 1986 World Cup final, where he bobbed and weaved and twisted and turned every single way, but he never lost momentum. He was always going forward and always beating the opponent, going past, swerving in and out. He never checked the horse's run. One slight blip along that road down the home straight would have prevented his horse from keeping the momentum up. So he had to keep the revs up, and he had to do it in such a way where he maximised the horse's qualities all the way through the race. And it was just absolutely brilliant. I didn't back the horse either, so I'm not singing his praises, because he won me a few quid. It was just brilliant. It was just a brilliant executed ride.
It was beautiful to watch. Okay, then. Well, we'll focus on 3 races on Sunday. We're going to look at 2 at Goodwood first, and we'll start with the 3:05. It's a handicap over almost 1 mile and 2 furlongs, a Class 2 event with 11 runners down to go to post. As always, we're getting towards the time of year now where the 3-year-old races could be a little bit difficult to call. But there's some really solid pieces of form in this race, aren't there?
Well, the best piece of form is by my selection in this race, and that's number 4 in the race card, Medeed, trained by Brian Meehan. His horses are in good form. Hannigan takes the ride. A course win over a mile, and they tried him over a mile and a quarter last time out in one of the hottest races at the Goodwood Festival. It was won by Lynn Valley in a very fast time. Lynn Valley runs at York on Saturday, so we get a chance to look at that form. The 4th, Bradley, also runs out of that race. If both of those two horses run with distinction, it would certainly boost the confidence in believing that Medeed can follow suit. He just didn't quite get home on that occasion, but that was a brutally run race. They went a real strong gallop. I think it was Insigne, Mark Johnson's horse, who also runs on Saturday at Goodwood, who forced the issue and made it a real strong tempo. Lynn Valley coped with it. Medeed just faded late on. But I can't see him having anywhere near as tough examination in this race on Sunday than he will like he did at Glorious Goodwood. Yes, it is a competitive race, but I can't believe they're going to go as quick, and it'll just enable him to hopefully this time last out. He's turned a foot to come into good use, and I really fancy Medeed.
Okay, main dangers?
Well, Mark Johnson obviously does well here, so Bureau's been running consistently well. I quite like Raise the Gaze as a horse as well. I think he's going the right way. He won at Sandown 3 starts ago and ran quite well last time out. He's okay, and also good value as well from the Sir Michael Stout team. He's got some good figures on the all weather and on the grass, and Visor on for the first time with him. So, like I say, not an easy race by any stretch, but Medeed, for me, has definitely got the best course and distance form.
Okay, Medeed the pick then in the 3:05. Next up is the 4:15. It is the Supreme Stakes, a Group 3 contest over 7 furlongs. 10 runners down to go to post in this one, and some really nice types here. I'd say it's hard to rule many of them out. You could make a case on bits and pieces of their form from either currently or earlier in the season. It is a good race, isn't it, Andy?
It is, yeah. I'm presuming here, and this would be just supposition, that Glenn Moss and Intransigent don't go. Glenn Moss ran at York on Friday. Mm-hmm. And, of course, as we speak, Intransigent's down to run in the second race at Goodwood on Saturday. So it'll mean that they're only going to be eight runners. A lot depends on how they bet here, depending on the race, the way I play the race. But I like Indignant here. Again, course and distance form. The race that was won by Jay Wonder was a really hot contest, again on the speed figures. Mm. Brian Means Charge absolutely jumped out the ground to win that day. Back in third was Indignant, but also in fourth was Valonia, who went to Pontefract a week ago and boosted that form, thus giving us a bit of confidence to those that compile speed figures that race is reliable. And I thought Indignant went really well through that race. Like I say, time-wise, she's well clear of this lot. She beat Professor early on in the season at Salisbury, when Professor was all the rage off the back of a good run at Royal Ascot. So there's no reason why Richard Hannan's Charge won't get the stable bragging rights there. But again, it's just course and distance form. Back to the same track again. Likely to run its race. Indignant the pick in the Supreme Stakes.
Okay, Indignant the pick there in the 4:15. And the final race we're going to look at is the 5:35. It's a handicap over a mile and almost 2 furlongs from Beverley. Class 6 contest, this one, with 14 down to go to post. Not as strong as the two races that we've previewed at Goodwood in terms of quality, but there is nevertheless a winner to be found. And, well, the most solid form, as you'd expect, comes from those towards the top of the handicap here.
Yeah, definitely. And I like a horse here called Where's Tiger. Again, another horse I'm selecting in this podcast that's got course and distance form, a real vital component in when you're punting. And he proved that he handled his track with aplomb last time out when charging through the field to win in the style of a horse going places. I like the way he really lengthened all the way to the line. He's quite a lean, athletic type. I think the jumping boards will be after this. I'll probably give Sean Quinn a little bit of nudge in his ribs to say that he's a very similar type to Ruther Glen, funny enough. He's just moving through the ranks nicely. He handles most grounds. He's got a nice action. He's got a nice attitude. I like what's going on between his ears. He's got a good draw as well, right the way around the inside. He should be able to hug the inner from stall one, save all the ground. And Philip Makin, who had him last time, will know exactly when to press the buttons. So again, another horse on the speed figures, round the course and distance, has got everything in his favour. Where's Tiger completes my patent, or whatever you want to call it, Trixie, well, for Sunday.
Especially in this race, you've unless there's a real lurker, you know what you're getting. The ones at the top of the handicap are exposed. They're consistent, but they don't win very often. And the ones on the bottom just haven't showed enough form. They would need to really, you know, kickstart their career and really bounce into some form to trouble the likes of Worst Tiger here, wouldn't they?
Well, there's one or two unknown quantities in this race. One or two horses with blinkers, cheek pieces on for the first time. I mean, every race is a different story, and it's a, you know, you can get different results. But of what we know, Where's Tiger's the best of this lot, and he's proven it over the track. Okay, you've got horses like Trinity Star who have been knocking at the door, and they've had hard luck stories to, you know, tell the tale along the way. But of what I know and what I'm looking at in front of me, none of these, like I say, jump out the page and say, yeah, I'm a well-handicapped horse. Whereas I still think, even despite the slight rise in the weights, Where's Tiger is potentially capable of more.
Okay. So Where's Tiger the pick in the 5:35? Can you just spin us through your three picks, the two at Goodwood and the one at Beverley on Sunday, Andy?
Yeah, it looks quite a competitive day. Good card at Goodwood. We'll concentrate on the two best races with Medeed in the 3:05. The Group 3 race hopefully might go the way of Richard Hannan, in particular in the shape of Indignant. And then Where's Tiger for Jed O'Keefe and Philip Makin in the 5:35 at Beverley.
Okay, great stuff, Andy. We will catch up with you tomorrow ahead of the Curra, won't we?
So we will, yep. Two group races there, the Futurity Stakes for 2-year-olds and, of course, the St Ledger trial with Leading Light in there as well, the Gold Cup winner.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.